The stories and photos on the pages of Nostalgia Magazine show glimpses of life in the Inland Northwest from years gone by. From home life, school days, and the workplace, you can relive a style of life that we all loved and cherished. Call today to subscribe, 443-3678, or visit us online at nostalgiamagazine.net. Nostalgia Magazine, ageless stories, ageless photos.
Welcome to Real Estate Radio with your host, Ken Sachs. This show is created for you, the consumer. Our goal is to empower you with information and education, thereby giving you the tools needed to make informed decisions when it comes to real estate needs. Real Estate Radio is brought to you in part by Movement Mortgage. And now here's your host, Ken Sachs.
Well, hello, listeners, one and all. My name is Ken Sachs, and you are listening to Real Estate Radio with Ken Sachs. I'm happy that you're here. We have a lawyer in the house, My guest today is attorney Rob Redman. Rob, hello.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking about seller disclosures, sellers and buyers. You should listen to this as well. Sellers, what do you need to disclose? What do you need to know? Buyers, what are sellers' obligations? Even realtors, people who sell real estate, what do you need to know? What do you need to disclose? And things of that nature. So we will get right into it. Rob, let's start off by you telling us just who you are and give us a sense of what you're about, Rob.
I'm Rob Redmond. I've been at Head & See & Edwards for about 10 years. I'm a real estate lawyer and estate planning lawyer.
Okay.
Outside of that, I'm a musician, probably play in too many groups, play frequently. I'm a French horn player, play in the Gonzaga Symphony, and I'm the auxiliary player in the Coeur d'Alene Symphony. I've also played with Whitworth University Symphony and with the Spokane Falls and some other various groups that come up. It keeps me off the streets, I guess.
Yeah, good. And playing too many groups, that takes me back to when I was in college. I don't know if we've talked about this. I was also a musician at one point, and before I knew it, I was in four groups. And I had no time to practice, and it became too intense, and I had to back off and only stayed at about one or two, and that might be a common thing with musicians.
It's easy to get too involved. They all sound fun, and you need to learn to say no.
Exactly. Like new realtors, they need to learn to say no. So seller disclosures, this is going to be very interesting, and this is going to be something I'm probably going to want to listen to a few times as well as our listeners. So let's talk about first buyers. You being a real estate attorney for 10 years, you get a lot of calls from buyers, and I would imagine these calls go something like, hey, we bought the house, this is now going on, or this is wrong, and we were never told. We're mad. Help us.
It's a frequent phone call. I'll oftentimes get phone calls from buyers shortly after a sale. Sometimes I think it's more buyer remorse than anything.
Sure.
They're mad at the inspector if there was an inspector. They're mad at the realtors. They're mad at the sellers, and they basically think that they were pulled a fast one, and they just spent $200,000 approximately on a house, depending on where it's located. So I can certainly understand their frustrations.
What are some of the common things that you hear from these buyers? Is there a common type of issue that buyers are bringing to your attention?
I'm not sure common issues is just basically issues. There's frequently concerns about how things are working or not working in relation to how they thought they would be. I've had calls about furnaces. I've had calls about the gutter systems on the house. I've had
gutter systems on the house.
Yeah, the gutter system was leaking in a different way than they thought, and so they thought that should have been disclosed. I've had cases where after the sale has occurred, they've uncovered minor roof leaks, which they believed occurred before the sale and so should have been disclosed. Remember several calls about walls, cracks in walls, where they're concerned that the house had some settling. And
are these like the hairline cracks we see above the patio slider that virtually every house in Spokane has?
Correct.
Okay. So All right. And I believe me, I get the emotions in real estate. I've been doing this 23 years now, I think. And I get buyers getting ramped up, wanting something done, but let's also be realistic. What can be done? What's reasonable when a buyer calls you and there's a hairline crack in the corner of the kitchen slider, or the rain gutter is leaking water in a different location? I mean, what's the reality of what a buyer can do? I mean, what to me it just seems like calling a lawyer and, you know, wanting to sue and, you know, suing for everything. But really, I mean, how do some of these things get resolved, I guess, is my question.
Well, the reality is that I would say probably in 90% or more of my calls, there isn't a viable action that I can see against the seller. And the reality is they bought a house as is, and as all houses do, houses have issues, and they're probably better off just repairing the issues that they're uncovering.
Just fixing it. Unless it was something maybe really significant, like some kind of foundational issue. Or
something that should have been disclosed.
Yeah.
I've certainly had cases, though, where they're mad enough to proceed, and I've had several that we've right or wrong, got sellers to come up with a few dollars to get the matter to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Or realtors come up with a few dollars. Sometimes I don't think they really had to come up with anything, but it was just more of a good faith. You're upset. Let's work this out. Let's come up with something.
And if somebody pushes the button, I mean, we're all going. We're all going to get sucked in. And so I'd rather just maybe throw a couple dollars at it instead of dealing with, you know, somebody forcing the issue and getting served and actually making something of it, or even small claims. I mean, a lot of us, we don't even have time to, you know, we don't want to go to small claims court. We don't have time for that. So as a realtor, speaking for myself, and a lot of us are very busy right now in this market, it's easier just to write a check than to take the time to go to a small claims court and, God forbid, get a judgment, because thinking beyond that, now what's our obligation to Department of Licensing? Now we might have to tell them, oh, I have a judgment against me now. Oh, my God, I'll just write a check. I shouldn't be saying that now, because everybody will say, hey, yeah, I'm mad, and just write a check.
But in general, there's no requirement to come up with the settlement. Though oftentimes having a conversation with the buyers and looking through the materials, unfortunately, it's kind of saying, well, it is what it is. You're not going to likely succeed in any claim.
Mm-hmm.
And then you may be out attorney fees and costs to pursue it. Rather than paying me, why don't you just fix the problem?
Right. Right, right.
And be angry about it, but move on with your life.
Yeah, move on. And, you know, being the broker for a large company here in Spokane, what I find, and maybe it's the same with you, Rob, is that they just want to be heard. They just want somebody to listen to them. And oftentimes, if I'm on the phone and listening to them and they're upset, they're complaining, and I give them a sense that I understand and that I care, a lot of times they're okay after that. They aren't actually, because I'll ask them, what would you like me to do? And then when I ask them that question, oh, well, I guess there's really nothing you can do. But they're grateful and thankful, and it seems to have helped that I was there to listen.
Well, we all get that way. We all get upset about things, rightfully so. You spend that much money on a house and you discover problems, whether they should have been disclosed or not. I'm human. I get mad.
And it's hugely stressful, the process of buying. It's incredibly stressful, so I get that. So, so what about inspections? You know, we talked briefly before the show on inspections. As far as buyers, hey, you know what? I want to save $400, and I don't think we need to do an inspection. It looks good. It looks good, and I don't need to spend an extra $400 on my $200,000 house. What do you have to say about that? As far as buyers, should you do inspections?
I say buyers should always do an inspection. Find out what's good, find out what's bad. The good, the bad, and the ugly, really, about the house. So mm-hmm. they have more of an idea what they're getting into before they buy a house and suddenly feel a bunch of remorse because there are issues. I mean, inspectors are, frankly, trained to go through houses simply and make sure everything's working, or if things aren't working, outline what issues might need to be fixed.
And they might uncover something that maybe you'll want to then spend a little more time on as a buyer to figure out, wait, what is that? You know, is that mold, or what is that issue that the inspector uncovered?
Or issues that can then be discovered before the sale rather than after the sale, which is much easier to fix a problem before the sale takes place.
Exactly.
There's leaking in the roof, for instance. We've uncovered a couple of drops here in the attic. We've got a problem. We better make sure the roof is secure before we buy the house.
Right. Or how many times, I know I see this a lot, where the bathroom vent is not taken outside. It's being vented into the attic. And so then when you investigate the attic, what's all this black stuff that I'm not allowed to identify because I'm not a mold expert, but what's all this black stuff? And come to find out it's mold. But I don't identify it as that. But things like that come up a lot with inspectors. The other thing I like about inspectors is they will show you some of the systems in a house and what certain things are, where the water shutoff is, and some of these things that a lot of buyers don't have any idea about, but it's very good information to have. So you're all in favor of doing an inspection.
Every time.
Having a buyer do an inspection. Every time. Good. Well, we're going to roll into our one-minute break here. My guest, Rob Redman, attorney with Hennessy Edwards. You're listening to Real Estate Radio with Ken Sachs. Be right back.
In touch. Online all the time. SpokaneTalksOnline.com.
To report unflinchingly and in-depth news, sports, and weather. 10 additional pages of entertainment every Friday in 7. Twice a week coverage of all things outdoors. At the table, on the go, in the moment, for as little as $1 a week. The Spokesman Review keeps you connected to the community whenever and wherever you choose. Your trusted partner for stories that matter for 131 years and counting. Visit spokesman.com and subscribe to the experience.
To help you be safe, Washington state law requires you to call 811 two full business days before you plan, for example, to dig, drill, plow, pull from, or pound anything into the ground. Be prepared to provide the operator with the correct address, cross street, and the description of your work. You must mark the dig area with white paint. The operator will inform you of the utilities notified of your impending excavation. Wait for all their marks. Be safe and dig with care.
When it comes to adding long-lasting color to your world, let Rada Paint give you a hand. It'll be a snap with Rada Paint's quality coatings, vast color choices, and plenty of painting supplies. Visit your local Spokane Rada Paint stores today, or go online to RadaPaint.com. That's RadaPaint.com.
Rada Paint. Finish right.
Welcome back. You are listening to Real Estate Radio with Ken Sachs. I am your host, Ken Sachs. Again, I'm here with attorney Rob Redman with Hennessy Edwards. You can reach Rob anytime, but you can reach him at his office at 509-455-3713. We are talking about sellers' disclosures, what sellers need to disclose, what buyers need to know, what buyers need to know about sellers' duty to disclose. We might get into realtors and what we should know and do and not do. So continuing on, Rob, sellers' duties, let's talk about that. So I know I get this question asked a lot when, again, because I primarily work with sellers. I enjoy working with sellers. So when we get to that seller disclosure form and the questions that sellers ask me about what they need to disclose, what does this mean? Do I have to say this? Rob, let's get into it. Seller's duties. What are their duties to disclose? What do they have to disclose?
Well, Form 17, the Realtor Form 17, basically outlines what they would need to disclose.
And that's the seller disclosure form, Form 17.
Correct.
Okay.
And all the form really does is go through various aspects of the house, and you outline on that yes, no, don't know, or not applicable.
Okay.
Asking, is it on septic or sewer? Asking about the plumbing, asking basic questions about the property. The seller disclosure, it's kind of a thin line here, but the seller disclosure statement doesn't create a specific contract between the buyer and the seller. Instead, it's It's just a simple disclosure where you have a duty to outline what you know about the property.
Okay, and you're being asked what you know on this five-page, five-and-a-half-page question form. I always like that last question, though, on the seller disclosure form, something like, anything else a buyer should know? How is a seller, how am I to perceive that? Anything else? Well, what do you mean, anything else? My neighbor's a jerk. What do you mean, anything else? How is a seller supposed to interpret that? I like walks on the beach and Barry White. I mean, what? How do I read that question?
I would say it just, is there anything else that's material about the house itself that you feel you have a duty to provide that information to the buyer? Most of the cases, I would say not, that you've outlined enough. But frankly, if you're feeling like, all right, I didn't have to talk about this item about the house, then that's probably when you should bring up that particular
issue. That might be an indication that needs to be disclosed. Or if your gut is starting to get tied into knots because you're starting to sweat, oh boy, is that material or is it not? Yeah, it's probably something you should disclose.
But it's certainly about the property itself. It's not about your neighbor. It's not about your relationship with your wife. Or
we would need more than 5.5 pages, Rob. So that's, you know, that's interesting. Now, so as a realtor, when sellers ask me, as they often do, well, can you help me? Or what does this question mean? As an attorney, how would you advise a realtor, somebody representing that seller? What's my answer?
Read the question and answer the question that's asked. The questions aren't difficult. And I don't think the questions need interpretation.
Right.
It just basically, and if you don't know, just educate, don't know. I mean, the were all permits obtained? If you obtained all permits, yes. If you don't know if all the predecessor owners obtained all the permits relating to minor stuff, then you could certainly outline don't know, because you certainly don't know what happened to the property before you purchased it yourself.
Yeah, and when I teach the contract class, you know, I'll tell realtors, number one, it's seller disclosures. It's not seller/realtor disclosures. And my line, my script, if you will, is very similar to what you just said. When a seller says, well, Ken, what does this mean? Rob, read the question to the best of your ability. Yes, no, don't know, or not applicable. The state doesn't allow me to go beyond that. You can ask anybody else you want, even a lawyer if you want, but it can't be me. So I can't even literally like fill in the answers that you're giving me. I can't touch this thing.
And they're not trick questions. You don't need to spend a lot of time interpreting what does sewer mean. Well, I think we all know what sewer means.
Right. And I think what might get people into trouble, and you would know better, but my take is that these sellers think, oh my gosh, if I disclose this, then it might kill the deal, and they want their house to appear perfect. But in reality, no house is perfect, and even a newly constructed house is not perfect, but it seems like sellers don't want to disclose these things because, oh my gosh, you know, there's a hairline crack above the kitchen slider, but every house has some type of issues. And to me, my sense is if you are making this house to appear perfect, you're hiding something. I almost start thinking, what is wrong? Because there's no house that's perfect. There's going to be stuff you're going to disclose, and every house is going to be that way.
If it's something that you're kind of reluctant to disclose, you can always supplement with additional information too, as the roof leaked in the last, was it 5 years?
5 years.
And if it had and you fixed it, then you just had yes, and you provide a copy of whatever that it's been fixed so the buyer feels more secure that we don't have an issue there.
Sure. Or with the basement, it's not 5 years. Has the basement ever flooded? So if it flooded 15 years ago and you have fixed everything, it doesn't ask, did it flood within the last 5 years? Has it ever? So the fact that it's rectified is irrelevant. It did flood at one point.
And you can certainly put note 15 years ago.
And here's everything I did.
so it won't happen again.
Yeah, exactly. So sellers have a duty to disclose, but a duty to provide this seller disclosures that we know in the state as Form 17. It might be called another form across the country, but Form 17 here in Washington. Sellers have a responsibility to provide that on the current form and answering all the questions.
Correct.
Okay, good. We'll get that straight. So let's see. So we're talking about the seller's duties to disclose. You know, this came up when we were talking. And I think back to my father-in-law when I sold their house, and I'm calling you out, Tom, if you're listening. But the buyers showed up to do their inspection, and like some sellers, they're nosy. They want to know. They want to hang out. They want to be friendly. And they want to meet the buyers. And I told my father-in-law, go away. Go far away. I will call you when they're done and you can go back. Did he listen to me? No. So he hung out and he started talking with the buyers. So Rob, as a lawyer, do you see any issues with sellers and buyers kind of meeting up, getting chummy, and having conversations during escrow before the transaction has closed?
I would be very careful as a seller to get chummy with the buyer, because what happens is they end up providing more information about the property than they should, or making promises about the property which aren't necessarily true, such as like being a used car salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, if those are specific representations, the seller may end up being liable for that. The property line's right there along that fence.
Oh,
we've never had any sound problems here. These issues which are really not much more than stretching it to sell a used car. But
right.
You'd be really careful if the buyer's spending that much money, because the seller might have some liability there.
Sure. So would your advice be similar to what I told my father-in-law? Go away.
Be somewhere else, or at most, greet them at the door, say hi, and leave them
then go
alone.
Away. Yeah, leave them alone. Oh, but we want to help, or gosh, probably what's happening here is these sellers, they need to sell, and they're feeling the stress and pressure of having to sell. It's taken longer than they thought, so they're going to start making these promises that you refer to, and even these misrepresentations, to just drive it home because they really need to sell, and now they're starting to get themselves in hot water potentially.
Yeah, bad idea.
Bad. Tom, I told you. Although nothing happened, we were good. Good. So sellers, go away. When they're coming over, don't. I know you're nosy, but just accept that and move on. And what I tell my sellers is, look, there is nothing good that can happen by you remaining on the property and engaging with the buyers. There's no advantage to you. There's nothing good that can come out of it, only bad. So why would you do it? Go away. I am your representative. Go away. Okay, good. Sellers, I want you to hear that. Let's see. Should we touch on realtors at all? You know, we're talking about seller obligations. What about realtors and, you know, what if I know some things about the house, or what happens oftentimes when I go over to meet a seller? Oh, and Ken, let me tell you about what happened. And then they start telling me all these really bad things. And I'm like, what should I know as a realtor? What should I be thinking about, I guess, is my question, Rob.
You're better off as a realtor not knowing all that much about the property and focusing on your job of selling the property, because if you start getting information from the sellers that you don't really want to hear about the property, then you would have a duty to convince the sellers to share that information. And if not, you may have a duty on your own to share that information with the buyer, depending on the circumstance.
Right.
Circumstance you want to be in.
If the seller says, well, no, I'm not going to disclose that, they won't want to buy the house. And I'm the prospective listing agent, now what? I'm not going to disclose that, Ken.
Then you may have a duty to disclose that on your own.
Then I'm going to have to probably disclose on my own. And that takes me back years ago, a house I had listed, and then during the inspection, they found mold. and they found mold running across the hallway upstairs in the attic. And my seller, well, I'm not going to disclose that. You guys just throw that term around. And I said, so-and-so, you don't understand. You have to disclose it. And if you don't, I have to disclose it. We can't just say this never happened. He didn't want to disclose it. And then he proceeded to say, oh, we're going to come off the market and we'll sell again in the spring. I thought, okay, I'm fired. He doesn't want to address the mold. So another company listed that house 4 months later. And I thought, oh, see, I told you I'm fired. I wonder if he's disclosing that mold. And then come to find out the house sold. And I ran into the folks that referred that seller to me. And I said, hey, whatever happened with that house, they sold it for $40,000 less than what I had the contract under back when I had the listing. I still don't know if they ever disclosed that mold. But it's that kind of thing where, you know, that was a $1,500 fix. And he didn't want to do that. And instead, he left $40,000 on the table when he sold it, all because of that mold. I mean, that's crazy. But I was right. That has to be disclosed. And if he doesn't do it, I'm going
to
do it.
And if you fail to disclose it and you're the realtor, you're a deep pocket, unfortunately, that the
right
some attorney for the buyer is going to find and proceed. And you do not want to be in that position.
And go after our insurance company, right? Which Correct. Is what makes us a deep pocket. Rob, here's we're wrapping up. Any parting words, anything else you want to pass on to our listeners?
Just that you're not buying a brand new car where everything is perfect. Houses are houses. Every room has issues. Every door has issues. You're spending a lot of money, but you're also buying a house. It's a long-term investment. You can't expect everything to be perfect.
Even a new house.
Yeah, sometimes more so with new houses. You can't expect everything to be perfect, but if there's clearly something that was hidden, talk to a lawyer about it.
Perfect. And if you want to talk to Rob as we wrap up, Rob Redman, our guest with Hennessy Edwards, you can reach Rob 509-455-3713. Rob, thank you so much for being here with us today. Maybe we'll have you back and we'll talk about something else along the attorney lines. Folks, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Real Estate Radio with Ken Sachs, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Real Estate Radio is produced in Spokane, Washington by SpokaneTalksOnline.com, which is solely responsible for its content. Ask Ken a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com. Real Estate Radio is brought to you in part by Movement Mortgage. We wish you a great day.
If you need a sign, banner, or business cards for your business, who do you call? Hi, this is Kent Adams.
And Tom MacArthur from Business Talks. Kent and I call Instant Sign Factory for our signs, banners, business cards, and more.
Dave at Instant Sign Factory is our go-to guy for printing, and he always does excellent work for us.
Check them out online. They've got an all-new website, InstantSignFactory.com.
Tell them Kent and Tom from Business Talks sent you. Instant Sign Factory.